Pancreatic cancer takes 91% of its victims within 5 years. And here in the United States, more people die from this cancer than from breast cancer. This is according to the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. In fact, this disease is the third leading cause of cancer-related death, and it is projected to become the second within the next 2 years. More than 55,000 Americans will be diagnosed with this disease just this year alone. And with November being National Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, we wanted to bring attention to this devastating disease. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this are Dr. Joshua Barton with St. Luke's Center for Pancreatic and Liver Disease and pancreatic cancer survivor Randy Seiferman. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Dr. Barton, I want to start with you because those numbers, let's be frank, they are not good. But are outcomes getting better?
We think they're beginning to, and one of the biggest changes that has occurred in the last 5 years, and Randy was a beneficiary of this, is that we're just now seeing chemotherapy that's improved drastically, and it's increasing survival, we think, by an extra 10% over what we saw 5 or 10 years ago.
Because it's one of those cancers where, at least as I was coming of age, if someone was diagnosed with that, it was basically a death sentence.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people still think, unfortunately. And the reality is of why that is that fewer than 20% of people at the time of diagnosis are eligible for curative surgery. And that's because we're diagnosing it late. Mm. Diagnosing it late because of the unique anatomy of the pancreas. The tumors have to get surprisingly large before they cause symptoms, and the symptoms are vague. And when that does occur, the symptoms occur, the tumors oftentimes growing into structures that make it non-removable.
So, Randy, you were diagnosed in 2014. Take me back to that time. How were you diagnosed?
Well, I was just a pretty active outdoor type of guy and was working in my shop one day and noticed a pain in my stomach, not like an upset stomach, but a pain. And like most men, I probably let it go for a couple weeks. And then I saw a doctor who thought maybe I had acid reflux. And I progressively got a little bit sicker, a lot of nausea associated with that. And I went to a great primary care doctor who was aware of pancreatic disease. She did a pancreatic function test and shipped me off in an ambulance that day. Spent a couple of days getting some tests and evaluations and was referred to Dr. Barton. And within a week, I was really diagnosed, and they knew the pathology, and we started chemotherapy. And, you know, between Dr. Dan and Dr. Barton and Dr. Kuhn and the whole MISTI team, by July of 2015, I was done with my treatment, and I've been in remission ever since.
What was it like, though, to get that diagnosis, especially as we just talked about what we know about pancreatic cancer?
Yeah, that's a difficult life challenge. I've had a few life challenges, but this was probably the most difficult one. I had a lot of apprehension about what the future looked like. I wasn't a very old guy, so I wasn't ready to be done. But somehow I found some peace in the whole thing, and I think that's in large part the confidence that was given to me from the care providers at MISTI, from the nurses and doctors and support staff, friends that I met because their loved ones hadn't survived. It was a great comfort to me to have those folks, and I just knew that I could go in there and give it my best, and they would give theirs, and the rest was kind of in somebody else's hands.
I'm speaking with Dr. Joshua Barton with St. Luke's Center for Pancreatic and Liver Disease and pancreatic cancer survivor Randy Seiferman. It is National Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, one of the reasons why we're talking about this today. And, you know, Dr. Barton, what's interesting to me is, and I said this in the introduction, that more people are dying from pancreatic cancer today than from breast cancer. But now, go back 20-30 years, so many people were dying from breast cancer. But then the Komen Foundation came in. And, you know, this happened because the founder of the Komen Foundation lost her sister, and she decided to become an advocate. So research dollars are put into that. That has had tremendous impact on where we are with breast cancer treatment today. Can the same thing happen with pancreatic cancer.
Absolutely can, and it's just starting to change. What we see with pancreas cancer is it's a bit of a statistics game. Pancreas cancer is the number three cancer killer in America, like you just mentioned. The problem with pancreas cancer is that overall it's not common. So about 50,000 Americans are diagnosed with pancreas cancer, and that compares to 268,000 breast cancer patients in America a year. So research money comes both from the government through the National Cancer Institute and also from private funding. And private funding a lot of times is pharmaceutical companies. Pharmaceutical companies are businesses trying to make money. They do great work, so I'm not going to disparage what they do.
But the more patients that have something, the more money is going to go into research,
right,
especially from private industry.
Makes sense. Free market, capitalism, it's all good stuff. So where we can make a difference is with government funding. The National Cancer Institute has increased funding since 2011 from $99 million to $150 million in 2016. So it's increasing dramatically. Along those lines, private funding has increased fourfold. And so what ties into that are some of the changes we've seen in chemotherapy over the last 5 years that has increased survival. And I expect that we'll see further improvements. One of the things that can make a big difference is awareness. You don't have to be a pancreas cancer survivor or even have a family member or friend who had pancreas cancer, but knowing how drastic this disease is can help. You can talk to your primary care provider, make sure they know what's going on, even contact your congresspeople, make sure they know how important this is, even share some statistics, get on the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network website, educate yourself, volunteer. Mm-hmm. All those things make a difference. So I'm a firm believer that a large number of people doing simple things can make huge changes in our country. And we're seeing great signs of that right now.
Well, and it's interesting what you said when you look at how many people are diagnosed with breast cancer. You said 260,000 plus per year, but our survival rates are better. But even though it's 50 to 55,000 people with pancreatic cancer, they're almost all dying. And therein lies the difference. So that funding, it sounds like, is so critical, especially if chemotherapy didn't work before because the disease was so advanced.
You're exactly right. If we all think back to the 80s when Susan Komen really got rolling with the changes that were made with breast cancer was a horrible diagnosis, and the change has been made there. Another example is colorectal cancer. Changes have been made there, and it's all research. A lot of times as surgeons, we tend to think that if we do a bigger, better surgery, that that's going to make a difference. And the frightening thing about pancreas cancer is that's actually not the case. What really makes a difference in someone's survival is the actual biology of the tumor itself. Surgery makes a difference, but it's actually the biology. And so, for example, we can resect a pancreas cancer and actually leave some pancreas cancer behind, but if the biology is susceptible to chemotherapy, they can survive. That's as opposed to somebody with a small tumor with a perfect resection, no tumor cells left behind, and for reasons we can't explain right now, sometimes the cancer comes back inside of 3 to 6 months of surgery, and it all comes back to biology. And so understanding biology comes down to research. You understand the biology better, you can design chemotherapy better. The other thing that will make a big difference is early diagnosis. And we are in the beginning of understanding how to diagnose this early. There's not a means to diagnose early that's really ready for prime time. And why that's important is we do know there are studies that have looked at patients who have had a very early tumor, so a tumor less than 1 centimeter, which is a rare thing. The average size is 2.5 centimeters at diagnosis. So for tumors that are incidentally discovered, less than a centimeter, no lymph node disease, your cure rate can exceed 75%. And so once we figure out early diagnosis, couple that with improving chemotherapy, we're going to see numbers like what we see with breast cancer and colorectal cancer.
And Randy, when you were diagnosed, what stage were you diagnosed at?
I was diagnosed stage two. I was fortunate. I only had the pancreatic cancer. It was potentially a little bit of a struggle for Dr. Barton when we went in, and and did the surgery. But I was just blessed. I had the perfect storm. I had Dr. Barton, and I had Dr. Zuckerman, I had Dr. Kuhn, and I had all the right pathology, and I had enough strength to do it.
And things worked for you. The biology was there, as Dr. Barton was talking about. So Dr. Barton, talk to me also about signs and symptoms, because you said they're vague. Randy, you said you got a pain in your stomach. Well, I mean, lots of people get pains in their stomachs.
Yeah, I'll get to that, but I do want to point out that Randy's the perfect example of what I was referring to, the biology being so important. Hopefully he doesn't mind me sharing that he had a pretty advanced tumor, very difficult to remove surgically. It was a long operation. And typically you would think the harder, the more difficult it is to remove, the less likely we are able to obtain cure. And here he is sitting next to us 4 years later, healthy as can be. The signs and symptoms are very vague. Classically, we're taught in med school and in surgical residency that the presenting symptoms are painless jaundice.
Mm.
But when you talk to patients, they also often, before they develop jaundice, which is yellowing of the skin, yellowing of the eyes, urine becomes very dark, stool become very light-colored. That occurs because the tumor will close off the bile duct, and the bile basically builds up into the bloodstream, and you turn yellow. When you talk to patients in depth, they'll say, yeah, you know, for a few months I had some vague pain and I had just some indigestion, didn't feel right, food wasn't sitting on my stomach correctly. And typically this is a cancer of retirement age patients. Randy was very young at diagnosis for the typical patient. And the problem that we have in our society is that we falsely believe that as we get older, our GI tracts just don't work right. So having some subtle signs and symptoms aren't really a big deal. And so that's a reminder to folks that if you have some issues, don't ignore them, get them checked out. And hopefully it's a whole lot of nothing, but pay attention.
And beyond that, what can someone do to advocate for their own health? I mean, even if they maybe don't have signs or symptoms, is there something that they should be talking to their doctor about? Is there a test, or is it kind of just be aware of maybe if you have any changes in your GI tract?
Dr. Zuckerman touched on this in the previous segment. We're not always perfect in our offices. We mean well, and not all doctors are created equally. So first of all, you got to have a primary care provider that you feel comfortable with, who listens to you the way you want to be listened to, somebody you can have a great conversation with. And, you know, your spouse may have a great connection with one primary care provider, and you may need another to have that relationship. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, having a great relationship with a primary care provider. And I will say that a large majority of primary care providers, that is why they do that profession, is they really care about people and their health in general. So develop that relationship, get regular checkups. If you're over 40, you need to have a primary care provider. You need to be going in, you need to be checked out for things, because very clearly over 40, what kills people over 40 are diseases of age. You're no longer in that age group where you're dying of accidents and trauma. And don't be afraid of sharing those subtle symptoms with them.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this. Such good information to have. Randy, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for bringing us in.
Absolutely. My guest today, Dr. Joshua Barton with St. Luke's Center for Pancreatic and Liver Disease and pancreatic cancer survivor, Randy Seiferman. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.